We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. We've got myself, we got Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon, and Chris Whitaker in the building with us today. Going to talk a little Merchants baseball as they wrapped up their season, Chris, about a week ago, a week and a half ago or so.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago tonight.
Yeah, and a really good season for you guys. You know, if I'm not mistaken, has this been the best finish you guys had since joining the Meek?
This has been the best season that we've had. You know, we finished second regular season. We were 23-12, our most wins. So, you know, last year in 24, we were 18-25, 17-11. Just, you know, mm-hmm. we just kind of really, I think, made that next step. And, you know, we're really, really, really competitive all season long.
Yeah, and we had Alan in here beginning of the season, and he said that you guys are the only one that isn't like is it owned like by other people, or am I misspeaking that a little bit, or like it's not like it's a group of people, not just like some one person or something like that.
Right. You know, the Merchants are a 501c nonprofit owned by a board of directors.
Uh-huh.
You know, like in St. Joe, it's an individual that owns the team. In some of the other places, it's a partnership or an LLC.
Yeah.
In some of the other communities, it is a board. So they're all pretty diverse around the league.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Chris, with the success this year, part of that's probably figuring out how to develop the team. But is it getting comfortable being in the Mink and the level that it is, and kind of figuring out exactly, you know, how you need to go out and recruit kids and the type of kids and coaches you need?
Right. That's I think that's the biggest thing is. You know, that first year we were in the league in November. Everybody else had been recruiting for 2 or 3 months. So we were really behind when we started. The next season, you know, we had to hire a coach again and so on and so forth. This year we had, you know, Doug Barker, we hired him really early. Doug, good guy. He played for Storm Lake. Mm-hmm. And played against us with the Whitecaps back in when we were in the Pioneer League. So that he knew the level of competition, and now I guess I can break the news. Doug Barker, he's going to come back again next year. Preliminary. Scott Anderson, our pitching coach, set to come back. They love Carroll. They love the Merchants. So that will give us some good continuity in recruiting players.
Yeah.
and try to kind of make that more of a pipeline of funneling from, you know, JUCOs or colleges to the Merchants.
Mm-hmm.
So
is that something that you guys discussed? Because I know at one point in this franchise, kind of having a new coach and everything was kind of the system that you wanted. Is it now trying to find that stability of being able to bring people back every year?
Stability at the top with the coaches brings stability to the team because they have that relationship. They know what to expect competition-wise and really know what expectations to look for in players. You know, it's just not being a good baseball player. It's like you got to be respectful in your host family, be willing to go out and work in the community and go do on those visits, go to the daycare, you know, the animal rescue league and work the camps and just be really good, start to be good citizens while you're playing baseball. And they're busy. They're playing about 5 or 6 games a week. So we try to fit in those community events. But that consistency at the top, all the other, you know, many of the other teams have that. You know, Clarinda, those Eberle brothers have been down there forever.
Yep.
St. Joe, they've got a consistent coach. So it's just kind of that really consistent, you know, here's our leadership and here's what they're going to look for. So
have you heard from any of the players? Do you think some players will return for next year or anything like that? Or is that just kind of up in the air right now?
We all, you know, this year I think we had 3 or 4 guys come back. It's always fun to be. It's a lot of work to be the general manager, but at the end of the year, you always get the mail and you get the email. The other day, and it was at work, oddly enough, one of the players sent me a handwritten thank you note, which to get a handwritten thank you note in 2026 from anybody, let alone a 22-year-old guy in college, is like, hey, I just wanted to say thank you for all the city does, the community, you as the Merchants. This is the greatest place I've played, and I wish I could come back one more year, but I'm going to graduate. But just wanted to say thank you. That really means a lot and kind of makes all those, why are we doing this, those moments really worth it when you get those notes and those emails and see the interactions with the players and the kids and the community.
And that was kind of the theme I was going to bring up, is that whether it was when, you know, we would go out to Merchants games or we had Austin in earlier in the year, they talk about, you know, Carroll's so inviting and so friendly. Is that kind of what you try to set the groundwork for, is that, you know, Carroll's a place that they can call kind of a second home when they come here for the summer?
Exactly. That's, you know, one of the players, he's like, I'm a city guy. I didn't really know what to expect when I'm coming out here. And as he put it, in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, we've lived here long enough to know Carroll's not the middle of nowhere. But it's not Chicago, and it's not Des Moines, it's not Omaha. But he says this has just really been a great experience. The community, the host families, the fans were just awesome. And he loved it. So
it felt like on this year's team, the coaches went out and got a lot of JUCO kids. Do you think that was one of the main reasons for success, you know, or do you just think it was the team clicking right away?
The team clicking right away. It's always amazing to me. Those guys will show up on typically Thursday, Friday, Saturday, probably practice Saturday, Sunday, and play Monday or Tuesday. I mean, they'll practice twice, and they're playing a game within 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
To me, how that gels, and they gel really quick, that makes a lot of difference. And these guys just clicked.
When did you guys, as the board of directors, realize that, you know, this has been going to be a special group, and we've got a really good chance to contend for a league title?
You know, I don't – you know, you look at the standings, like, we're near the top here. And – you know, we just kept winning some games, and of course you lose some games, some ones that you shouldn't lose,
mm-hmm.
And some that you think, we're not going to win this, and we do. And we got to the end, it's like we're going to host a playoff game, which that's a really cool feeling because we'd never done that before.
Right.
So,
yeah, you know, looking back on the season for you, Chris, you know, a very successful season. I think started, was it 13-4 or something like that? It started really, really hot, and then dropped some games, you know, along that way. What, you know, can you take away from looking back at the season on how successful it was?
You know, the result on the field is always important. Mm-hmm. You know, finishing second in the league behind Clarinda, who is always a powerhouse. St. Joe was off a little bit this year, for whatever reason. You know, we just had some really good guys that clicked well, and clicked really fast, and played good baseball. So we were fortunate.
Yeah, and it was a really good season for you guys. Yeah. I felt like, you know, from the start and everything like that. You know, what going into, you know, next season, after seeing the success this year, is there some stuff you guys are going to tweak a little bit to kind of stay towards the top?
We always get done. It's like, okay, we're going to take a break.
It's
like we don't want to talk to anybody. We just want to go kind of maybe go play golf if that's your thing, or go fishing or take a trip. And you know, we're going to meet next week and kind of start talking about next season. Maybe not so much on the field, but what goes on off the field, and, you know, for sponsorships and game packages like that. And really, the recruitment of the players we leave to the coaches. Mm-hmm. They know what works. I mean, they're playing for Coach Barker and Assistant Coach Anderson. They're not playing for Chris Whitaker and Rod Berg and Jim Allen or John Perrin. Thank goodness, because we wouldn't want to see that. But that'd probably be like the Bad News Bears. But
Chris, you mentioned, you know, you win some games you don't think you're going to win. You drop some games, and that's part of a sports season. What games, what performances kind of are you going to look back maybe in 20 years when you think about the 2026 season? Are there some games or some moments that just instantly kind of come back about this year?
You know, that last game with Joplin was a heartbreaker. You know, we were up and went to extras, and it just slipped away. You know, we just kind of ran out of gas that July stretch, and it gets that way for everybody. You know, it's hot, got a lot of games in a row, and it's like, we should have made it, and we didn't. We ended up one run short. So
I got to chuckle just a little, not that you lost, but you sound like a manager and a owner of a team, and the one thing you remember was the loss, right?
Yeah,
that's what players and stuff a lot of times do. It's that one loss that drives you crazy.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's the when winning, of course, is fun, but for me, part of it, and maybe more important, is the interaction with the players and the fans and the kids, and seeing them you know, gel, and the host families and the connections they make. And then when they go out in the community, you know, they go to, you know, it was funny. They go to the Carroll area daycare. And they put a Facebook post on, and about 2 days later, the folks from the Glidden Little Wildcat Center says, "Hey, could the merchants come over? You know, we saw that. You know, we got a couple of really good fans over here." I'm like, "I think we can squeeze that into the schedule." So that's what's really cool to me, is to see those players interact, and really they grow on the field, but they also grow in the community too. To me, it's more than baseball.
Yeah, I think, Chris, the one thing important too is that for the little fans out there, like seeing those kids play, that's like they are watching like to them, those are the professional baseball players out there that they're getting to watch play baseball. And I think that's the big thing too, is to see the kids come in and interact with the younger generation so well and be so accommodating to them and everything like that.
They are. That, you know, those kids, they want autographs from everybody. They want the baseball, you know, they want foul balls, which that's a different story of, you know, chasing them down and then going and getting their favorite player to sign them, or get the whole team to sign them, or the baseball cards that we do. It's those kids, and just they look at the players and the coaches as really all-stars and heroes.
Uh-huh.
For 10 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's amazing to see that. I kind of back to the team a little bit with, you know, the coaches and returning and everything. Do you think there's going to be an early start on recruiting this year with kind of the foundation already in place?
It was funny. Doug and Scott and I had lunch like the second day after the season. They were getting ready to go home. I said, "All right, boys, recruiting starts today." They're like, "How about tomorrow?" And so I think they have kind of their list, and we're strategizing of the approach. You know, pitching is always tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like everybody in the league always runs short at the end. And I think, again, after being around for a year, they know the competition and what they need to do and the players that they need to recruit.
As we talk a little about players, who were some of the guys that really helped this team have the type of season that you guys had?
You know, it's all of them. But, you know, you look at a returner like Hayden Oliver, you know, was second in the league in hitting, like a .417 average, from Fort Scott Community College from Arkansas. Came back. His older brother played with us a year ago. He came back. It's like, ooh, he kind of grew up over the year. You know, pitchers like Braden Billings, Harrison Hokva, you know, they were league leaders in wins. So had some great all-stars. Sam Weller, you know, Drew Owen, Rylan Bowe. Just played the field really well. There's some of those other guys that just maybe didn't shine so much on the field, but you talk about Austin Anderson or an Alex Draper, just kids that were just solid, good kids, and were like, "We're going to be at every camp and go to wherever we can do. And if you ask them to do something, it's just done."
Hmm.
That's kind of the – so it's not maybe not just the great stats, but it's just the great players and working together to win ball games. And they did.
And you kind of talked about Hayden there, you know, returning and kind of growing up. What does it mean, you know, when they come back, they kind of know the system, they know how the Mink League works, they know kind of how Carroll is. Do you feel like that benefits, you know, the team and even the players themselves, that when they come back, they know how everything goes?
Absolutely. You know, that experience, they know when they go to St. Joe, they're going to play in front of probably 2,500 people. They know the level of competition. They also know what to expect here, and they're kind of the senior leaders of the team. Kind of hopefully keep some of those younger guys maybe a little in check too, not on the field and off. Hopefully they don't, you know, take the other way and lead them a little bit astray. But you know, they work hard, and they know the expectations, you know, on and off the field. So I think that's a very positive look on it.
I do want to ask, you mentioned Arkansas here a moment ago. How many different states or schools or whatever do all of these kids come from? I mean, how spread out is this team when they come together?
Jeff, are you reading my notes over here? I think he is. So this in 2026, we had players from 12 states, mm-hmm. 21 colleges and universities, and from D1 to community colleges, everything in between. So, I mean, we had – you know, kids as far away from Montana, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Wisconsin. Not the probably the biggest geographic diversity because, you know, last year we were from, you know, Japan, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, I think Canada. But it's always fun to see those guys. And I think this is really – we're probably more diverse geographically than some of the Missouri teams because there's so many colleges and mm-hmm. smaller universities down there. But just the number of states that, hey, these guys are coming to Carroll, Iowa and experiencing really – the greatest Midwest living that they can on the greatest the greatest park is pretty cool, you know. And again, 21 colleges and universities. So,
with the players coming over, were there any culture shocks when they first got here, especially the ones coming from big cities and maybe the South? Like, oh wow, it's hotter here than it gets, or anything like that.
Oh, that's always, you know, the fun thing is when they first come down to get the first practice, get their jerseys, they'll walk into Merchants Park, which is, again, I say this every time, it's a cool place because of the history. And then they'll walk out and they'll look at Scott Parcher Field, again, the premier baseball field in Iowa. And this Blake Nelson, the field man down there, does a great job keeping that maintained. They're just like, they're in awe. They're like, this is in Carroll, Iowa, in a town of 10,000 people. I'm like, yeah, and you're going to play here all summer, and this place is going to be packed mm-hmm. every night.
Yeah.
They're amazed.
Yeah.
So as we talk about bringing kids in, you probably want them to experience some of Iowa. What are the things about Iowa that you want them to experience? Because for me, the first thing I think of is good sweet corn, because not everybody in a lot of other states gets to experience good Iowa sweet corn. But besides maybe sweet corn and fishing and farm ponds around here or something, what are the things that you want or try to get those kids to experience while being in Carroll?
So the thing that has worked out pretty much every season is we have an off day during the College World Series. So if whoever wants to go, the merchants provide a ticket to go to the College World Series. And they're like, the College World Series is in Omaha? I said, yeah, it's 2 hours away. You're going to go. You can go if you want to. So they carpool and always get a photo with as many guys that go as he can. I think that's one of the things that they might never get that opportunity again.
Yeah.
And for them playing, you know, college level baseball to go watch the College World Series in Omaha is kind of the one of the big check marks. And Jeff, you hit the nail on the head. The host families, I think, spoil those guys with good Iowa cooking, sweet corn, hamburgers, steaks, whatever. They're checking out farm ponds, or walking the trails, or doing whatever. So I think it's a good experience for them, no matter where they come from.
You talk about the fans and it being packed and everything like that. Is that another key selling point for your guys? Like, you know, we're going to have a packed crowd every single night that you guys are here playing. You know, because some of these guys might not get that at their college or respect. Like, they're playing in front of more fans than they probably see all season long.
Correct. You know, our fan base in 2026, our average was 500, right on the nose. And we keep good track. And that's not paid attendance. That's people through the gate. And that's fun to see. That's a number that grew, you know, 2 or 3% over last year. That's always important to us as far as, you know, kind of the brand and the organization. But you're right. They'll go to some of their college games. It might, you know, it might be mom and dad and girlfriend and, maybe an aunt or uncle or grandma and grandpa. And there's not huge crowds there. So they come to Merchants Park and it's full. And we had some great nights down there with, you know, like DMAC host with the Little League. They were, you know, 1,000 plus, and it's like there's a lot of people here. But, boy, it's a lot of fun.
I do want to ask you, you brought up several times, you know, like going to the daycares and stuff like that. Why is that so important to you guys? Because I know you guys really like to get that set up, so that's an experience that they have. But why is that so kind of important to you guys?
One, it helps build the brand. If the youngsters are interested in Merchants baseball, they're gonna come watch the Merchants. Hopefully, bring mom and dad. But also, the reverse is true. You know, I think everybody on that committee is involved in the community in some way, shape, or form. Whether they're on the chamber or a social group or Kiwanis or whatever. We want to try to instill some of that in the players as well, that when you get out of school and you're out in your own community doing your own, living your own lives, that community service is important no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going to the daycares, the Animal Rescue League, you know, doing the kids camp, going to the library and playing games. That's always a fun one. I don't know who has more fun there. I think Wendy, the librarian, has the most fun, the library director, because she's a huge Merchants fan. She's like, and it's always like, Chris, can I get on the calendar with the Merchants? I got a couple dates. I'm like, yep, let's get this one marked in. And, you know, they'll get on there and play games and have fun. And I think the kids and the players have, I don't know who has more fun. So,
Chris, anything that we're missing right now that we need to talk about, the season recap and everything like that? I know it was a great season for you guys, and I think a lot of people looking forward to next year.
Well, we're looking forward to next year too. There's always that break of like, okay, this has gone on for 9 weeks, and it's like, oh, it's over, and then it's like, well, all right, what really can we do to make next year bigger and better and more fun and interactive? But really, the thank you goes to the host families for taking those players in. Without them, this doesn't work at all. The volunteers that work the ticket booth, the beer stand, you know, those are all volunteers. The public address announcer and the tune spinner, the scoreboard operator, all volunteers. The committee that puts this together goes out and sells the membership. It's a lot of work. It's not a moneymaker by any means. We just hope to be even at the end, and we're pretty close, so that's always a positive. But and the community support, you know, without the fans, this is, you know, it's no fun to go down there, and you could go down there and win 30 ball games. Well, yeah, it'd be great, but if there's nobody in the fans, is it really that much fun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think so.
One last thing: how much has the move to the Mink League helped this franchise?
I think it's brought a better quality of baseball because the competition is better, and the history is there. It's more organized. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I mean, we could look at any professional sports organization and their league. None of them are perfect, and this one isn't either. You know, because I think everybody has another job or is retired. They're doing their own thing. But, you know, it's a good group, competitive, and we like it, and we're glad we're in the Mink. You know, the old league was fine. It was a great start, but it's just like this got us to a new level, yeah. And it's been fun. So,
well, Chris, I want to thank you for joining us, and can I already say good luck coming up next year? You know, the season just got done with, but
we'll take all the luck we can get all season long. So, thank you guys. We appreciate the support from you as well here at Carroll Broadcasting. So. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Chris, that was Chris Whitaker with the Carroll Merchants. We'll step away. We'll talk some high school sports when we come back here on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show. We are back here on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show. Sorry for that, folks. We've been having some issues with KCIM today, I'll say that, and I think they're currently trying to get it worked on and fixed right now. But Jeff and Mason, Casey Miners, myself with us here on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show. And, guys, fall sports season already underway. Is that hard to believe?
Yes. Yeah, it is. We're in year two of tennis, girls tennis, you know, being in the fall. You know, last year it totally caught me off guard.
You know, I went more prepared this year.
I went to Canada a year ago with my brothers and come back and I start to work on the fall sports schedule and I'm like, tennis season's already started. Didn't realize that girls tennis was going to start that early. So this year, knowing that the season was going to start in early August kind of had me a little bit more prepared. But, Mason, for you, what kind of an adjustment has it been for you that, you know, we're already in competition the first week of August?
Well, like you said last year, you know, you came back and you're like, do you know tennis was starting? And I said, not really. I'm like, you know, we did it. We just had tennis in the spring, not even a couple of months ago. But yeah, now this year, then it was like, okay, this is coming up. It's here. Let's, you know, buckle down and get ready to go for the fall season. And, you know, we had one on Friday, and then now on Monday, we had one yesterday. So, you know, kind of ready to go then.
Yeah. And I know I was gone Friday. You were here. We knew Charlotte Schwabe was going to be good, and she gets off to a tremendous start as Kemper opened up their season. for girls tennis last Friday. What did you see? What did you hear when you got the results that day?
You know, I just looked at it, and it was like, you know, I know Charlotte's probably opening up the season ranked. You know, she's coming into the season with a lot of expectations as a returning state qualifier from last year. She kind of did the thing that you expected her to do. She goes out and she wins her singles match in kind of dominant fashion to open up the year. I think, what, undefeated until the Hawkeye 10 tournament last year or something? Yep. So, you know, she's probably on similar pace this year, you'd have to expect.
Pressure on her, do you think, to really make a ton of noise, you know, at the state tournament? Or is that something too early to start thinking about?
It's probably too early. I mean, you obviously you're going to have a little expectation right now, but, you know, you're how many months out from the state tournament? Do you really think about that now, or do you just kind of put one foot in front of the other and, you know, move to the next day?
Where did she finish at state last year? Me and Mason were trying to figure it out. We couldn't remember.
I think it was fifth off the top of my head. Fifth is what sounds correct. But don't quote me on that. That was a year ago, and I don't have that good of a memory.
I was going to say, I think we both thought fifth when we talked about it. But, you know, again, good season last year, and then now you just kind of get ready for this year. And then, you know, we also had another new tennis team added this year. And first time in history that they've had tennis?
Yeah, at least in my 22 years, as far as I know, they've always been combined. But, you know, Carol, you know, separating and starting up their own girls tennis program this year, along with cross country. So that'll be a new sport for us to cover. Jack Wardell is the girls tennis coach, and they got their season underway yesterday. I think performed pretty well down at a quad down at Shenandoah, ended up finishing in third place. Bella Lou ended up taking third place in number one singles. Lily Fries did a nice job in number two singles. She won her first match getting into the championship match, but would end up falling to finish in second place. And then you had Mirabel Abraham and Lucy Abraham. They ended up finishing up in third place in number one doubles by picking up a win in that third place match after losing in the opening round. And then the other team, I'm assuming, I got to do a little homework, but I'm assuming Mirabel and Lucy might be sisters. And then you had Audrey Hegrick and Allison Hegrick teamed up in number two doubles, again, assuming without having asked that question yet. But I'm assuming they're sisters, and they would finish up in fourth place. So I think a good showing for them, and it's going to be interesting and fun. You know, not that none of those girls have any, you know, tennis experience, but this is a new program. It's going to be interesting to see, especially with them transitioning now into the Hawkeye 10. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how things go for Carroll girls tennis this year.
Yeah, and that's something that kind of snuck up on me as well, is the fact that, you know, Carroll's not a Raccoon River team anymore, and they're now officially a Hawkeye 10 team. And it kind of makes sense now that when I look at, you know, Shenandoah Quad, and they had, what, St. Albert and Glenwood in there?
Yep.
I'm like, that kind of does make sense now when you look at that. But that's one of the things I'm looking forward to in the fall season, is the fact that Carroll and Kemper now has that, you know, extra level underneath it of, this is kind of a conference thing now, especially, you know, with tennis coming up, with volleyball coming up. You know, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to this year.
And I think it's going to be – I think it'll be an interesting question. I want to talk to Randy Beeson, the AD at Carroll, at some point. When you're starting a program, it's not like you already have a pre-existing schedule put together. So you're having to reach out to programs. And you probably know the ADs, because the ADs kind of all, you know, not know every single AD, but you have an idea who everybody is. But, you know, you're having to reach out and create a schedule kind of out of thin air. So it'd be interesting to see how they were able to put together a schedule and how they were able to get into, you know, because this might have been a try a year ago down at Shenandoah, and they were, you know, willing to make it a quad. So it's just interesting to see how they put that schedule together.
Yeah, and even like Thursday, I know that, you know, it was Kemper and St. Edmund, and now Carroll's in that one as well. So, you know, I think a lot of it is, you know, reaching out, if I had to guess, you know, reaching out and finding schools that are really accommodating and just being like, you know, we are a new program, we need to figure out schedules, you know, all of that stuff. And same thing with cross country. I think it's probably easier with cross country, you know, you're not facing off with one team, you're jumping in with a couple of different teams and stuff. But yeah, it is kind of interesting to, I feel like it would be an interesting conversation to figure out what it is like to start a program from scratch, especially now starting two programs from scratch in the same season.
Speaking of season starting, Audubon Tennis started their season yesterday. They were the only one of our three girls tennis teams that actually opened the season at home. As Carol, again, was down at Shenandoah yesterday. So I got a chance to run down to Audubon yesterday morning. I hung out through most of the singles matches before I had to come back to work on noon sports and stuff like that here on the air and stuff. But really, really strong performance. They had one of their young ladies, as they share between Audubon, Ikea Manning, and Exiro Corn Gimbledon, all have kids participating. They had one of the young ladies, I forget it's State Fair Week, but they had one of the young ladies had to go to the state fair to show. So it was one of those things where they, instead of going 1 through 6 with singles, they started with 6 and played 6-5-4-3 early, and then 2-1 played with the first court that was available. And then they were going to try and play doubles in a way backwards as well, with the number 3 doubles going first and then the number 2 double teams. But she ended up having to leave before they could get into doubles. So their only loss technically was a forfeit in doubles yesterday. But Vivian Jackson went out and played extremely well in their number 1 singles, picking it up an 8-3 victory. Reagan Hoffman also dominant in number 2 singles with an 8-2 victory. I caught up with Jordan Speed, who won her number 3 singles matchup 8-1. She was really in control of that one from the get-go. Ava Mulbauer won their number 4 singles 8-4. Emma Pryor won a number 5 singles. This was probably the tightest one all the way through, and she ended up winning 8-6. And then Rosalind Mulbauer ended up winning her singles match as well 8-2. And then in doubles, Vivian Jackson and Reagan Hoffman teamed up for an 8-3 win, and Jordan Speed and Ava Mulbauer teamed up for an 8-3 win. And again, I caught up with Ava Mulbauer afterwards as well. The thing that was interesting, they dominated their singles matchups, but both of them talked mainly about what they needed to do to get better and where they needed to improve and the nerves of the first match of the season. So everybody's now got a match in, so it'll be kind of fun. I think right now, tentatively, we have media day scheduled with Carroll Girls Tennis. I got to verify that with Coach Jack Wardell here today. But Thursday morning, I think it's 7:45, so going to be an early morning. But I think they want to try and get their media day in ahead of their meet on Thursday morning. So
I was going to say, speaking of early mornings in Carroll, we get the annual 6:30 in the morning at the football field. The dew's still on the turf.
Yeah, we'll be there while it's still dark, you know, and stuff kind of. And then the sun starts to peak up or whatever. Yeah,
you got to joke with Rotor because it's almost like the official kickoff for football season.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and stuff. And you know, hopefully it's not raining, so that we don't have to deal with that. I'm assuming they would move it up to the gym or something at that point. But so far we've been lucky every year that we've done this, that we've had good weather on that Saturday morning. I still remember Mason, or Casey, sorry, was it you? It might have been Tyler. We did a one in the spring with Carroll Soccer, and it was so cold that morning that there was frost on the ground, and the players were freezing out there taking pictures in their uniforms. It's not like they were running around like they do when they play, and they were all in there in their shorts. And you're shaking your head. Were you on that team?
I was going to say, I know it's Tyler because I was there in my uniform shaking. It was not fun.
But it's always kind of fun and interesting when you get media days, which we're really just kind of starting to get into. We've got Audubon Girls Tennis this afternoon, and then kind of booked up most of the rest of this week. I think the really cool thing about tennis right now, too, though, is with school not having started yet, they're not playing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And in the heat of the day, you know, everything's starting at 9, 10, you know, the latest are usually maybe 11, but everything kind of getting underway early morning, which is kind of nice. They can get it done, and then they have the rest of the day to kind of go do, you know, what they need to do to enjoy what was supposed to be, I guess, in a way, the rest of their summer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the one thing I haven't asked a tennis girl yet is, you know, how do you like having the season start while you're still technically on summer break? It's not like you're practicing, you're actually playing matches.
And their season will go pretty much right up until
I think mid to late September, if I remember correctly.
It's pretty much the whole length of the football and volleyball season, you know, until then, when they get done. So it's like you're starting matches before school starts, and now you're having to play well into school too. So
So and then you'll notice that when the school schedule gets going, all of a sudden the matches start at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon, and the early morning starts are you know, non-existent anymore. So, Mason, for you, what are you the most looking forward to, you know, with the upcoming fall sports season?
Just, you know, we've got a lot of high expectations for a lot of teams, whether that's tennis, football, volleyball. I know when you look, you know, you look around the horn here, we've got a lot of teams in football that are supposed to be ranked very high and coming in with a lot of expectation. I know volleyball-wise, you know, we're going to lose a lot from last year, but we're gaining a lot heading into this year. But yeah, I think that, you know, with the expectations that we've got, I'm just curious to see where each of our teams, whether that's week one or week, you know, 10 or 11 or wherever they're at, you know, what each team is going to look like and who's going to kind of take that next step for us this year.
Yeah, we're going to have potentially a very busy and successful football season. If you pay attention and if preseason rankings matter, I guess what Audubon's number one and eight man. You've got Kemper.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM, Carroll, broadcasting from the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel.
Around the general consensus of different groups, you know, you've got a bunch of different groups that are kind of putting them at that number one spot. You know, Audubon and Kemper, I think, were right there last year, and you kind of expect them to be at the top. The Carroll's the one that, you know, really surprised me. But I think when you look at it and you look at the track record of Coach Roeder's back, you know, they've got a lot of their staff back.
Mm-hmm.
You bring arguably the number one running back in 3A this year back with Adam Malik. The one big loss, or a couple of big losses, obviously, you lose both the Polking boys, you lose Gavin Holt, so that's going to be kind of the question marks. But when you bring back, you know, your quarterback, your running back, a couple of receivers, some linemen, obviously you're going to be pretty solid.
Do you think part of the reason they're number one is they were the only team that really pushed Nevada, who ended up winning the state championship a year ago in the postseason? And then, like you said, they graduated a decent number of real big, important guys on the defensive side of the ball. But so many people that vote pay attention to the skill players that are coming back on the offensive side of the ball, and that's where they're really loaded.
Yeah, it's the same thing that you look at. You just say, well, hey, they pushed the state title team last year, and, you know, if you change a couple of things, they probably get a chance to play for that. And, you know, it's kind of that thing of you look at it and you say, well, they returned this and this and this and this. They probably should be a top team. It's kind of like what, you know, Kemper's got this year, just won a state title, and in 2A they returned six All-State kids, and the next highest team has two. So it's like, how do you not open up as the number one team?
Yep, clear favorites, I would say, in 2A.
Yeah, I think I was trying to figure out what's going on here, but Mason mentioned six All-State kids coming back for Kemper. Should be a really good season. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back talking some more fall sports here on KCIM.
And on the job, Stewart Memorial offers custom design, corporate health and wellness programs tailored to your business. Our expert team provides on-site assessments, workforce evaluations, and rehab using industrial-specific knowledge and specialized equipment. Partner with Stewart Memorial to build a healthier, safer workplace. Call 712-464-4244 to learn more today.
Choose Stewart Memorial Community Hospital.
Since 1968, Mackey Motors has been serving Lake City and the surrounding communities with new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Mackey Motors is a full-service dealership providing oil changes in our Quick Lube Express bays, a service department with world-class trained technicians, a body shop and collision center with the latest equipment, a full vehicle detailing department, or come talk with one of our highly knowledgeable sales staff.
Recipient of the GM Mark of Excellence Award for 16 years running. Together, let's drive at Mackey Motors in Lake City. MackeyMotors.com. From everyone at Jacobson Seed, thank you to all the men and women who have served our country. Both past and present, your dedication and sacrifice are what make our country great. Jacobson Seed, your American, family-owned, independent seed company. On August 23rd, hundreds of American Legion riders will roll into Carroll carrying a mission that's much bigger than the miles behind them. Before they arrive, let's show them what this community can do. Join Carroll Broadcasting and American Legion District 8 on Thursday, August 13th at Wendell's Weapons in Carroll. We'll be broadcasting live from 11 a.m. until 1 with donations accepted from 11 until 3 as we work towards the $10,000 local goal for the Veterans and Children's Foundation. Just drive by and make your donation. Or if you can't be there, simply scan the QR code on our Facebook post to give online. Together, let's give with grateful hearts.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. Casey Miners, Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon with you as we are talking fall sports already for the high school sports season. We're talking a little bit of football. We talk tennis and everything like that. I know that football gets underway a week from Friday, right?
Yep, the 21st.
The 21st. Is our week Coon zero
Rapids
games.
Baird and Arweva not playing each other, Yeah, they're going to be on the road, both of them, and we all get together tomorrow night.
Yeah,
I've got the games picked already on what games we're covering for football this year, and that part of the schedule's done, but we got to figure out who's doing what games and who can get to where, and then we got to figure out who's going to be in here for our Friday night scoreboard show, which will start on the 28th from 10 to midnight. So, again, we'll be talking with every football coach after their games this fall, and that should be a lot of fun. I know, KC, you're going to be a big part of that as kind of the guy on that side of the board. We're going to have Jim Molitor and Todd Danner back. I think this might be about year three or four for those guys.
Jim's been doing it for a little bit. Todd's been doing it for a little bit, too. But together, it's been a few years.
Yeah, and we're going to add Brett Lux into the mix this year and stuff as he slides into that other role for us. And then Mason and I and Nick Brinks and Tom Hawkapp and KC will be out doing play-by-play. And we'll thank ahead of time, you know, the Doug Wanigers and the Dave Burks and everybody else that will go out at some point or another and help us do, you know, some color commentating, maybe Randy
Snyder. I've already talked to Doug. Doug's excited, and he's ready to go. He's got his flip charts already going and sitting at the house. I know that Doug's ready to go for football season.
I think the moment the high school baseball season ended, he just went right into football mode I think he's got every game broken down and everything already. So he's probably been to a couple practices.
Yeah, I know you guys touched on it a little bit, but we should be pretty good for football this year. Carroll comes back there, they brings back a lot of skill people. You know, Kemper brings back six All-State kids. Audubon, you know, it surprisingly that they're going to be really good, but I still think getting a little doubted in a way, a little bit. I know they're going to be highly ranked and stuff like that, but I think teams, maybe because of district play, they might not, people aren't looking at Audubon a whole lot, but the Wheelers down there should be pretty good this year.
Yeah, they're going to be loaded. Last year they had kind of that great mix of a senior class and a junior class, and that sophomore class a year ago, I should say, seniors and sophomores a year ago. Those sophomores are now juniors, and they're loaded, and they've got enough guys in the other classes to sprinkle in and fill in. They're going to have size. They're going to have speed. They're going to have depth. There's not going to be any issues, I don't think, for them guys at all. And didn't really get a chance to talk to, you know, about Kemper much before we went to the break here a little bit ago, but excited for them. They're going to be able to run the football, I think, extremely well this year. I still think that they're going to be pretty gifted on the outside with receivers and stuff like that. Taylen Alford's going to get his opportunity now at quarterback.
And what a time to step in with all the weapons he has.
With all the weapons that he has. And there's going to be pressure on him in a way because you're replacing an all-time great in Brock Bating at the quarterback position. But the pressure's going to be less than some that you're loaded in the backfield. He's a guy that can pull it and run it whenever he wants to. I mean, heck, he played some running back for him
It's two different types of quarterbacks that they've had. You know, Brock more of a stand there, I'm going to throw the football over the field. Taylen can do that, but he's going to be more of a runner too.
Yes, and then they've got receivers. They've got guys that can go out and make plays out on the perimeter, so it lessens the pressure on him to have to go out and be that guy when you have so many other guys that can help you. And then, I'm a big dude now in this part of my life, but I do not want to mess with those linemen. Oh, my gosh, those guys are huge and strong and physical, and they're going to be throwing people around all year.
As a guy that played the outside a little bit, you know, freshman year, if I was an edge or a linebacker or anything like that, and I look across the line and I see Reed Steyer and Lucas Deal, I'm giving up. I mean, you can't do any. They're huge. I mean, they're what, 6'2", 6'3"? Lucas is a national champion weightlifter, and he's a D1 lineman as well. I mean, you've got two D1 linemen on that outside, and then you've got, you know, three other guys that are really, I mean, almost all state linemen as well. I mean, they were, you know, like Doug said a couple of times last year when we did some games, you could almost give their whole offensive line player of the game sometimes because of how well that they block together. But yeah, like you said, I think the big thing is for Talon, you know, don't really look at it as, you know, I have to go in and I have to, you know, match what Brock did, you know, be this all-star quarterback. As long as, you know, as long as you can throw the ball a little bit here, you've got so much talent around you that they will make plays. You know, Griffin can get open. I know Easton's probably going to be a guy that they'll lean on coming into this season. And then obviously Jaron Hoffman, an all-state running back coming in. I think that they're, one of the things that they, you know, could try to do is, you know, the option with Talon and Jaron. Yeah. I think you could get 5 yards out of Talon and Jaron and have something, you know, like what Carroll might do, is where you have two guys that can rush for 1,000 yards in your own backfield.
Yeah, and I think Griffin's got an opportunity to maybe be looked at as one of those players of the year in Class 2A, mm-hmm. With what he's able to do on the field. So it's going to be a fun year. I'm looking forward to it. I know Mason and I right now are kind of putting together our preview that we'll have, and just going to run through here real quick so that everybody that you know knows. We will have our preview show. Of course, we'll talk with Ryan Steinkamp of Kemper, Craig Rowetter of Carroll, Eric McCullough of ESAC, Corey McCarville of ICAM Manning, Brian Case of South Central Calhoun, new coach in Tony Naparelli over at Glidden Ralston, Nathan Lindsay down at Coon Rapids Baird, Austin Stolk at Arweva, and Sean Burks of Audubon. We'll talk to those guys. The first time our coaches preview show will air will be at Saturday, August the 22nd. So it'll be a day after Coon Rapids Baird and Arweva open up their season. And stuff, but we'll talk to all of the coaches at 8 o'clock that morning and stuff. Then we'll replay that entire show again on the 27th, which is a Thursday, and we'll do that at 6:30 p.m. Both of those will air right here on KCIM. We also are going to be talking with our volleyball coaches. I'll run you through that list as well. A little bigger with Exirocrin Kimbleton in that mix. You've got Riley Ludwig of Carroll, Rusty Wintermote of Kemper, Colby Schumann of Glidden-Ralston, Natalie Lewis of Coon Rapids Baird, Sarah Shirky of Arweva, Derek Reischauer of Exirocrin Kimbleton, Nikki Ubel of Peyton Chernan, Krista Bunt, new first-year head coach up at South Central Calhoun, Brandon Steiger of ESAC, Molly Lang of Audubon, and Michaela Cron of ICAM Manning. So we'll talk with all of those coaches. The first time that show will air will be next Thursday, August the 20th, and we'll have it here on KCM at 6:30 in the evening, and then that entire show will re-air that Sunday, August the 23rd at 10:30 in the morning. And again, then we'll post all of those interviews, you know, available online as well after the second time that those shows air right here on KCIM.
Yeah, and the other thing that we're starting this year with that show is that you can also find it on YouTube. We'll do a live stream of, you know, the 20th date for the volleyball show at 6:30, and we'll do one on that Saturday at 8 a.m. as well for football. So, you know, just offering some other ways that you can tune in there, and it should be a good show. I know last year was interesting because you figure out, you know, who's coming back, what's changing, kind of all that new stuff. And if you have a new coach, you got to figure out kind of how they are and what their system will be. So I'm always interested, and you got to tune in to kind of figure out what everything is going to be.
Yeah, and speaking of YouTube, we're on YouTube right now with the Rewind show. We're also going to have our Friday scoreboard show from 10 to midnight. It'll be audio only, but we're going to be planning on having that streaming live on YouTube as well. Don't want to forget the other fall sports, because we're certainly going to be covering them like we do everything else. These coach interviews, as we preview the season, which we're going to get underway today, I've got a couple of them a little bit later on this morning. But we'll have cross country. We'll talk with Melanie Hundling of Arweva, Cindy Wilkie of ESAC, Robert Cast of ICAM Manning, Thomas Nelson of Kemper, Allie Botts of South Central Calhoun, and Alicia Patrick with Carroll, their first year again in having it. We can't forget about Deb Danner, the head girls swim coach. And then, of course, with our tennis coaches, Pam Schwab of Kemper, Mackenzie Nissen of Audubon, and Jack Wardell of Carroll High. So, again, all of those coach interviews will be available on our podcast center where you usually find our weekly coach interviews. And then we should have our Saturday morning coaches show coming up starting on the 29th. I haven't gotten final details on that yet, but I'm sure we'll talk with our Carroll and Kemper coaches for football and volleyball and cross country probably. And then Deb Danner with swimming every Saturday morning as well. So,
yeah. And again, check out full sports schedules again available for this week up at sports.1380kcim.com. That'll wrap up our CB Sports Network Rewind show for you here on this Tuesday. Check out a podcast of it in just moments.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM.